Howdy, and welcome to Bob the Lector. I'm Bob. The purpose of this podcast is to inspire Catholic lectors to bring their proclamation of God's Word to life. This episode is for the April 5th Sunday Mass's first reading. It's the Resurrection Mass of Easter Day, Year A. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter proceeded to speak and said, "You know what has happened all over Judea. Beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all the people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name." The word of the Lord. Happy Easter, y'all. We made it. This is a great reading, and you have an incredible opportunity to bring God's word to life, especially for those in the pews before you who might only come to Mass a couple times a year. Let's give them a reason to come back before Christmas. So let's get to it, shall we? I always start my own lector practice with preparation, which is not the external proclamation, but the internal discernment of the message. What is God saying to us? What is his purpose? What is the meaning of this reading? Because if it doesn't mean anything to us, how can we as lectors make it mean anything to the congregation before us? I prefer readings that aim for the heart, because that's where an emotional connection will be made with the people in the pews. But sometimes it's important to understand in your head what else might be going on. When it comes to this reading, truer words were never spoken. While the congregation won't hear the 33 verses preceding today's text, your knowledge and understanding can fuel the zeal of Paul's words, as recorded by Luke. So what leads to this speech? Where is Peter? How did he get there? Why is he there? Who's he talking to? In verse 1 of this chapter, we're introduced to Cornelius, a centurion in Caesarea. So this guy's not Jewish. He's not Christian. What the heck is he doing in this story? Did he get lost? No. We learn he's a devout and God-fearing man who gives alms generously to the Jewish people and prays constantly. Wow, I wonder what his story is. But I digress. One afternoon at about 3 o'clock, he's minding his own business when he has a vision from an angel of God, and he's told to send some men to Joppa and summon some Simon who's called Peter. The angel helpfully provides an additional key detail so he can find Simon or Peter or whoever this guy is. He's staying with another Simon, a tanner who has a house by the sea. So when the angel leaves, Cornelius sends messengers to Joppa. So his guys approach Joppa around noon the next day. This is a 30-ish mile trek, so these guys are hoofing it. Meanwhile, Peter goes up on the roof terrace to pray. As he's minding his own business, guess what? Another vision. Peter sees heaven open and a large sheet comes down bearing four-legged animals and reptiles and birds, and a voice from heaven tells him to eat. In spite of being hungry, Peter says, "Heck no, I'm Jewish. I've never eaten anything unclean in my life." This happens twice more. As Peter's trying to figure out what the heck this means, Cornelius's men show up and ask if Peter is staying there. Then the Spirit tells Peter to go downstairs because there's three men looking for him, and he needs to go with them. So Peter goes and greets the three men who introduce themselves and tell him their story. The next day he goes with them, and they arrive in Caesarea the day after. There's a lot of hustle here. I mean, 30 miles there and back for Cornelius's people. They get to Cornelius's house. Peter enters and tells him, "Well, you know it's unlawful for a Jewish man to associate with a Gentile, but God told me to come. But why did you call me?" Cornelius replies and tells him about his vision and adds, "So I sent for you, and you were nice enough to schlep the 30 miles to see me. So tell us what the Lord commands you to say." Now you know why the context behind Peter's words are so important. So aim for the heart. Aim for the hearts of the people in the pews. Speak with the same zeal Peter had, knowing you both were called by God to proclaim this good news to the people before you, and in your case, especially those that might come only twice a year. Put yourself in a mindset of Peter's audience, addressing these people who've never heard the gospel. Tell the story of Jesus Christ with joy, vigor, and enthusiasm. What lessons do you get from this reading? We start off, Peter proceeded to speak and said, "You know what has happened all over Judea. Beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Think of a real-life situation where you're talking to a friend about a recent event and you say, "You know what happened?" And they look at you blankly. If you can do so authentically, speak in that exact same manner where you tell your friend what happened, just like Peter does. Use that tone of voice when you say, "You know what has happened all over Judea," almost as if it's a question. Look at the congregation as if you're expecting them to respond. Pause significantly. Then after, hopefully, hearing no answer, continue with the balance of this section as if you're explaining it to someone who's never heard it before. In addition to the significant pause after Judea, insert a micro pause after speak and a small pause after Holy Spirit. Emphasize no, Galilee, John, Holy Spirit, power, good, healing, and the second God. Then we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Continue your demeanor and tone of voice of zeal and enthusiasm. Stress witnesses, all, Jews, also and. Read, "and in Jerusalem," as if you're adding another detail to the story. Insert a small pause after Jews. Next we have, "They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all the people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." Speak the first sentence dramatically as you describe how Jesus was killed. Then finish this segment with a conversational tone while still keeping your enthusiasm. When you say, "but to us," say it as if you're speaking personally. Think about the reference, "who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead," as denoting you and the people before you, because we literally eat and drink with him in the Eucharist. So proclaim that last line with passion and immediacy. Highlight death, hanging, man, raised, granted, all, us, chosen, ate, plus drank. Insert a small pause after death. Next we have, "he commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead." Continue your fervor as if delivering a call to action to the people in the pews before you. Say "us" as if you're speaking of yourself and on behalf of the congregation before you, because we are all commissioned to spread God's good news. In addition to "us," also emphasize "preach," "people," and "testify." Insert small pauses after "us," "people," and "testify." Lastly, "to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name." This is the climax, where you connect with the people in the pews and move their hearts. Emphasize him, all, everyone, believes, and forgiveness of sins. If you can do so authentically, Add a tremble in the back of your throat for added emphasis when you say everyone. Insert small pauses after the first hymn, the second hymn, and sins. When you get to the segment, that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name, smile broadly and engage the congregation with as much eye contact as you can muster or memorize. Put on a demeanor and tone of voice of absolute joy as you proclaim this good news, especially to those who might only come to Mass a couple times a year. When you close out the reading, if you can do so authentically, consider winding things down with, through his name, speaking almost in a whisper for emotional effect. If you do this, make sure your mouth is close enough to the microphone so you're heard by everyone before you. Well, that's all for now. Thanks for listening. My hope is these ideas will help you find your authentic voice, so your proclamation of God's word will transform your listeners, whether they're in pain and broken or just going through the motions. Because the good news deserves great delivery. Visit us on the web at bobthelector.org, and we'll see you at the Ambo. By the way, if you like what you hear and are so inclined, please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Thanks so much.